Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Miami, Florida. Welcome to the show, Andrew Hellinger.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, great to have you here. Now, Andrew, you've been at this development game quite a while. You've developed some landmark projects in the Miami area. And I'm excited to have this conversation because you're continuing to build in Miami, and it's a hot market with a lot of influx of population. It's also a market that, over the last 15 years, gone through a tremendous cycle in the downturn. So curious to get your perspective on how that cycle has played out. But before we do, maybe give a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
Well, I'm a lawyer by license and trade, and I was practicing law for quite some time. One of my firm's clients asked me to become the president of their development company. It was a significant development company in the United States as well as worldwide. And it was an opportunity that was difficult to say no to. So I became president of a company called Levi Boymel Green Developers in the United States, a partnership of Africa, Israel, and Boymel Green Developers out of New York. And I learned the development business on the fly. In 2007 and 8, the partnership disbanded. I found myself sold out of a job, and I continued with my own real estate. At that time, myself and my partner, Coralie Penabad, created our own real estate development company with an idea that we should build things that inspired us to change the city of Miami.
I love that. I mean, if I think about our own company's mission, it's kind of similar, where we say that our mission is to build communities that people feel compelled to call home. What you said just kind of resonates.
So we built a project in Miami. Our first project that we built is called River Landing Shops and Residence. It's an oasis on the Miami River. A lot of developers will say, I built a mixed-use building. It could have apartments or condos on top of ground floor retail of 10 or 20,000 square feet. This is literally an oasis on the Miami River. It has 528 apartments, but it also includes 346,000 square feet of retail and 150,000 square feet of office. So this is a place where you could live, work, shop, never leave, with access to our waterways in Miami.
It's a little bit of a throwback to what used to be a very walkable community in Europe. If you think about the town centers that exist in many European communities where there's a hub of activity where you can live, work, play. North American cities, for the most part, are not that. And there is a little bit of a trend towards that in some North American cities, but in little micro pockets. So you would have been probably at the forefront of that trend at that time.
We broke ground in 2017. Okay. And so we opened in 2020. I'd like to think that we are at the forefront of creating that city within a city. We're a submarket within the city of Miami. And it was created with an idea that the Miami River should be something that the community would enjoy. And so we created 800 feet of 50-foot wide river walk, but we also created a 90 feet by 200-foot atrium where people can just hang out. You don't have to live here, work here, shop here. You can just hang out. And people do that. Going back to your comment about creating that European-like city, that was what we were trying to create, this place where you could hang out like a European city. In fact, we have a French baker here. And originally he opened and he said, I'm going to open just as a coffee and pastry shop with some sandwiches. World famous guy for his baguettes. And today he's getting ready to expand to open that French bistro, like you're sitting on the streets of France and hanging out.
I love that. And oftentimes developers, and I see this because I talk to a lot of developers and sometimes they even hire us as consultants to help them. The focus is just on maximizing dollars per square foot. And when we look at it, we look at it through the lens of animating the property, making it a hub and making it a community. And that creates a stickiness that is difficult to quantify in an Excel spreadsheet, but results in lower turnover. It makes the product more attractive. not just physically attractive, but people are attracted and want to stay there. They don't want to leave. So I think that's just super important. Talk a little bit about the amenities arms race, because I believe it's alive and well. No one's building tennis courts anymore like they did in the 70s and 80s. What is the, if you had to dial in the amenities package for today, what tops the list for you?
Well, I can talk about that outside of River Landing.
Sure. Yeah.
But in River Landing, we had a unique experience. So generally today, it's going to be your amenity deck or the services you're giving your residents. Padel and pickleball are a big thing, in essence, because tennis is a lot harder to play than padel and pickleball. And so a lot of people will say, oh, pickleball is for those who can't play tennis. But it is one of padel and pickleball are the fastest growing sports right now because it's more accessible and easier to play if you're not an experienced tennis player. Then you have your business center and your common area kitchen and things where your residents can have their private events or do a Zoom call, much like this, in a private setting outside their unit. And I think that's pretty standard for developers. Here at River Landing, what we did, again, we have 850 feet of riverfront. So we have this expansive riverwalk. Our dog park is along the riverwalk. We have a gym and it was resort quality, but we also have a Planet Fitness that offers a wider variety. We have a CKO boxing. We have a massage and stretching store. So within our living environment, you can get the things that you'd otherwise have to go outside or bring in to that condo. It's really at your footsteps. And so that's our amenity. We have a unique situation. Our units are their apartments. They're floor to ceiling glass, and they're a little bit larger than your standard apartments in Miami. And we found that although we built a business center and it's got these beautiful views to it, people don't use it. And I go to other apartment buildings and I ask the question, are your residents using your business center and your meeting rooms? And they say, yes. Here, we're not seeing a lot of that because the residents are telling us that their units are so large and expansive and the view's so great. They just don't want to leave when they work at home and they're doing their video calls. They're just happy with the view they have. And so our amenities happen to be a little bit different because of the way we built our units here.
I think in some of the buildings that we're focused on, the thesis has been that the business center is a place to hold a meeting without having to make sure there's no dirty dishes in the kitchen sink. So you can host people on a moment's notice and not have to worry about, you know, tidying up or anything like that. I don't know if that's a factor, but I hear exactly what you're saying. When you've got a curtain wall and you've got expansive views and a larger size unit, you're probably willing to host meetings even in your own apartment.
Well, maybe our residents are all eating out.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Fascinating. So as you fast forward, if you look forward over the next 12, 24 months, obviously been a tremendous amount of influx of population in the Miami area, and it's driven absorption of units. How do you see the mix between condo and rental? That's always a hot debate, a hot topic. Where would you be placing your next dollar? Would it be in rentals or would it be in condo?
It depends how you buy the land. Right now, we are still seeing a great number of condos being launched and starting construction. Unfortunately, owners of land that a developer would like to buy look at their land and say, oh, if that piece of property with an ocean view is selling at $1,000 a foot, I should get the same money because I'm land in Miami. And so it really matters what's your land price. We are starting to see costs of construction come down, but we are not seeing the land prices come down yet. Although the pundits keep saying that Miami, like other markets, will see the price of land be reduced, we're still seeing too much of an influx of new residents here, mostly from relocation of corporate America to Miami. Miami is a hot market. It's a place that people want to be. The hedge funds that are moving here and tech companies that are moving here are creating demand, and that demand is being seen in increased condominium development. I think there is a good and healthy apartment market. Rents in certain submarkets are still rising. So it depends upon, again, it depends upon the submarket that you want to build in. There's also a great demand for workforce housing, and the state of Florida has provided incentives through Live Local or other fundings that are available and certain incentives to build that. I'm in Miami. Miami-Dade County is putting forward a development plan for workforce housing. So with the demand from our new residents, but also the demand for workers that need affordable housing, there is an apartment market. But again, it comes down to, how did you buy the land? We're getting ready to plan to build a new apartment building. And because of the way we bought the land and the special zoning that we have, we're going to own the land at about $25,000 a door.
Oh, that's great.
Most of the apartment buildings right now, price on per door is somewhere around $60,000. So we're able, in the pre-development process, to buy down the cost of the land due to the amount of development that we're able to put on the land. A lot of developers can't do that, and they're considering doing micro units. One developer that I know is planning, he moved from an apartment concept because of cost of construction and the price of the land to building a condominium furnished with a seasonal or monthly rental program that would be managed essentially by the development team. I don't personally understand that kind of market for 260 units in a monthly rental program, but that's his business, not my business.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we've obviously seen that trend in other cities, in New York and so on. You know, the 385 square foot unit is very much alive and well, even if it's not that desirable a product from an end user perspective. Is there a particular, for your target customers, there a particular unit size that you target that really is the sweet spot for your clients?
We build the units with in mind that the millennial or the renter would like to have sufficient closet and storage space. So it's maybe a smaller bedroom or a smaller common area living space, sofa, TV area is okay. But on average, we're building at about eight. Our average unit is 850 square feet.
For a two bedroom?
Across the spectrum. Our average of ones, twos, and threes across a project are about 850 okay. square feet. So a studio could be 500 square feet. A one bedroom could be 775 square feet. A two bedroom could be as much as 1300 square feet, etc. And they average out.
Those are definitely at the higher end of the spectrum in terms of unit sizes, for sure.
They are, and it could be the reason why we have found in our projects, our residents are not using our business center as much as they're using their units.
Yeah. It makes sense. Well, Andrew, love what you're doing. If folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
If they want to learn more, they can look at the River Landing project. That's our signature project. It's riverlandingmiami.com. They can reach out to me on my email, andy@urbanxco.com.
Love it. Well, great to connect with you and great to hear your story. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Andrew Hellinger at riverlandingmiami.com. The links will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.